If you would take your sermon note sheet out of your bulletin and turn your Bibles to John chapter 1 this morning. John chapter 1. If you're a teenager or younger and you take notes this morning, you can see Brother Barry and he will reward you for your diligence. Let me encourage you adults to be taking notes and jotting down not necessarily what I say. It's important to remember what God says. And as we continue in our series in John chapter 1, if you don't have a Bible with you this morning, there's one provided in the pew in front of you. You can pull that out and turn to page 579. Page 579, you'll find John chapter 1. And if you don't have a Bible of your own, take that one as a gift from our church to you, that you might be in God's Word every day. And as you're turning there and thinking about that, we're going to be issuing a challenge for all of us. Next year, in 2018, to read through the Old Testament together chronologically, maybe not as it is found in the Bible, but as it happened, as it unfolded. So we'll be beginning that on New Year's Eve. December 31st is on a Sunday, and so that Sunday morning, we'll be giving out those guides that you'll be following along with, and we'll be talking about that every Sunday morning. The message will come from what we've read. And every Sunday school lesson will come from the passages that have been read that week. So in your Sunday school classes, you can ask questions and talk about and dig deeper into sections of Scripture that we've read. And so throughout next year, we'll be reading through the Old Testament together with a few breaks in between so that from time to time when maybe we fall behind, we can catch up and we can continue on together walking through the Word of God. It's God's Word that comes alive, that changes hearts and changes lives. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of that. We're asking the question throughout this month of December is, who is the Christ of Christmas? What is it that happened that we celebrate? Why is it that we celebrate a baby born in a manger in Bethlehem? What is so important about this Jesus? What is this? Who is this Christ of Christmas? We look into John chapter 1 for the answer to that question, and we find several answers given to us. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1. Stand with me as we read through this together. I'll begin in verse 1, recap a little bit about what we talked about last week, and then we'll dig into deeper in verses 4 and following. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and all things were created through Him. And apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man named John who was sent from God. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and yet the world was created through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God. To those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observe his glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's pray. Father, we get still before your throne again this morning to come boldly to your throne of grace, not based on who we are or what we've done, but because of the shed blood of our Savior and your Son. We come boldly to your throne of grace, to find grace and mercy that's sufficient for every time of need, including where we find ourselves this morning in desperate need of a word from you. Father, we need for you to speak by the power of your Holy Spirit into our hearts. That God, we would hear from you about how you want us to respond to the Christ of Christmas. May all of us be able to answer with boldness this morning before leaving this place that he is our life and our light. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we saw in John chapter 1 there, beginning the first three verses, that it says, in the beginning was the what? Word. And the word in Greek is what? Logos. The word. It is the invisible element that created, that brought all things into existence. Understood that in the New Testament era. In the Old Testament, it was more about the power of God, evident as God spoke a word and all things came into existence. In the beginning was the Word. So the Word was before there was time or anything, the Word existed. And we find that the Word was with God and the Word was God, right? So he is God and he is the Word. He was with God in the beginning. Before time began, Jesus was not created, okay? He always has and always will be. He is the I Am, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is no creation of Christ. The Christ of Christmas showed up as a baby in a manger, but he always was. For in fact, we find that all things, verse 3, all things were created through him. And apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Who created you? God did, specifically the Word. Jesus created you, knit you together in your mother's womb. All things hold together by him. He's the glue that holds everything in the universe together. The beautiful thing is that this Word that created all of us, that created everything that we know, in fact, is the power that holds all things together. This tells us that this Word became what? Flesh. He became flesh and took up residence among us. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. The Christ of Christmas is God become man. God taking on flesh like yours and mine that we might behold him, that we might behold the glory of God. He came to his own, verse 11, but what did his own do? They rejected him. They threw up a hand and said, I don't know what you think you're doing, but you're not who we expected. His own were the Jews. There was prophesied from 300 years prior that Christ would come, and they didn't want to receive him. However, there were a few, there always are a few, who will receive him. To those who did receive him, what happened? Verse 12, to those who did receive him, he gave them the right to be what? Children of God. Born into a spiritual family as brothers and sisters with God as our Father. He is the God-man, the Christ of Christmas. He also is the life and light. We find in verse 4, look back into verse 4. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. The first thing we find in this passage of Scripture that I want us to dig into a little bit deeper this morning is that we must embrace Jesus as the source of life. We must embrace Jesus as the source of life. Have you ever been in a position where you made this statement? Now this is the life. You ever been there? Now this is the life. Usually there's a big smile on your face and you're enjoying something. Where might you be if you would be leaning back saying, now this is the life? What might be going on? For some of you, it is the beach. Some of you. Where else? On a cruise. Maybe it's out in the ocean, in the middle of nowhere, no land in sight. Where else might you be? Surrounded by grandchildren? Awesome. What else? Peace and quiet. So maybe we're not on a beach. Maybe we're on a mountain. Anybody rather be on the mountain, not the beach? There's a few of us would rather be there. Maybe it's up in a tree stand, looking out over creation. Maybe in a lazy boy here in about an hour and a half, maybe. Belly's full, kick back. This is the life. And it could be. Hopefully, it's right here. Here's the interesting thing about making that statement. The statement that you're making about the event that's going on. Don't you find that that's temporary? None of us live at the beach or in a tree stand, I don't think. I've not visited any tree stands where you occupy every day. But those moments are fleeting. But too often we wrap our lives around those moments as if that's what life meant. So we find ourselves on this roller coaster of emotions because we base our happiness and our existence on a few moments that we can kick back and say, this is the life. And in just a little while from that moment, life goes on and we've got to get the car packed up and head back to the real world. Things go on and we've got to kick the seat down or the leg down on the lazy boy and get up and go do something. It's only, ladies and gentlemen, when life is wrapped up in Jesus that existence continues for eternity. See, what we find in this passage is that he was the Word become flesh that he might show us life. 54 times in John's Gospel, he uses the word life. 54 times. You think it's important? He stated it just a few. In fact, one of those is the popular passage of Scripture in John chapter 14, where Jesus is preparing his disciples about him getting ready to leave and die on the cross and then ascend to heaven to be in the presence of God forever. And John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the what? The way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He's making a statement there that's exclusive, meaning there is no other way, there is no other truth, and there is no other what? Life. It's not found anywhere else. It's an arrogant statement, but can be made by someone who can claim it and stand on it as absolute and complete and total truth. Jesus is life in that he provides physical life. We saw that in verse 3 of John 1 that we just saw. All things were created through what? Through him. He is the creator of all physical life. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, provides also spiritual life. There are 7 I am statements that John records in his gospel. One of those we just quoted. Another one is John chapter 6 and verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says, I am the what? Bread of life. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. A spiritual consumption of who Jesus is provides spiritual life that lasts forever. One of the most quoted and most memorized verses of Scripture is John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so what? Loved who? The world, that he gave his only Son, Jesus, right? That whoever does what? Believes, puts faith, trust in him, the Christ of Christmas, will have what? Everlasting what? Life. Eternal, spiritual life is found nowhere but in the Christ of Christmas. Because the reality is, apart from Christ, we experience the opposite of life, which is death. Ephesians 2:1 reminds us of this. Ephesians 2:1 says, and you were what? Dead. How? In your trespasses and sins. In your spiritual condition of sinfulness, you're not alive, but you are dead. Forever separated from God. Romans 3:23, for all have what? Sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages, the penalty, the cost of sin is what? Death. Eternal separation from God. There's a beautiful word in that passage, the word but. But the gift of God is eternal what? Life. Through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Life is found in Christ. We must embrace Jesus as the source of life. What I find happens far too often, individuals will make a decision in a setting like this to make Jesus the center of their life. And you step out of this place and you find that there are numerous things vying for your attention and your affection. A lot of things crying out to you saying, if you'll just embrace me, you'll have life worth living. If you'll just shoot for this or go for that, I will provide for you life worth enjoying. And all the while, all of these things are fleeting and will not last. But Jesus, when embraced as the source of life, provides for us life worth living. Life that's not temporary, but eternal. We must embrace Jesus as the source of life. In verse 5, we find that we must walk in the light that Jesus provides. Look in verse 5. That light shines in the what? In the darkness. Yet the darkness did not overcome it. How many of you have been in Mammoth Cave when they turned the lights out? Anybody been there? I don't know if they still do that or not. Anybody know if they still do that? So you go in the cave where there's really no source of light anywhere. I mean, you're under the ground. And they turn out the lights. When I did this a few years ago, it was like a torch thing, and they put the torch out. It's probably a real light now. I don't know. They turn it out, and it's what? What do you see? Total darkness. I mean, it's the darkness where you can't see your hand in front of your face. You think that's ridiculous. You'll never be in that kind of darkness. That's what it is, right? What about when the power goes out and there's complete darkness? No street light, no lamp shining anywhere. Darkness is the absence of light. Have you ever thought of the reality that you don't have to create it? You don't have to create darkness. You just remove light, and darkness is there all the time. John mentions light 21 times in his gospel. 21 times he mentions what light is and what it means. Again, Jesus, in his one of his I am statements in John 8, verse 12. John 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again and said, I am the what? Light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life. I don't know that there's any greater contrast between light and darkness. Darkness would symbolize the absence of the presence of God, the absence of what is enjoyable, what is life is to be about and to be experienced. And Jesus said, I am the light. Meaning there are other imitations and there are other sources that may shine into your life for a period, but they are not the true light. He is the only one who can provide for you light that will dispel the darkness forever. He gives us a promise here. If you will follow him, if you'll become his disciple and walk in his light, you will never walk in darkness. Anybody afraid of the dark? There's a few of us afraid of the dark. iPhone has a light on it now. How many of you use your iPhone flashlight for everything? Yeah, we don't. We just walk around. We don't have to be in the darkness. We don't like the darkness because you weren't created to enjoy the darkness. You weren't created to live in the darkness, but sin has so provided darkness to hide what's really going on in our hearts and really going on in our lives. Jesus mentions this in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. This then is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, so that his words may be shown to be accomplished by God. Jesus says that the light came into the world, yet there were people who rejected it, because that light shone into their darkness and exposed what? Exposed their sin, exposed their heart. It exposed the true conditions that were going on in front of them. And Jesus says that some of them loved the darkness more than the light. Why would you love the darkness more than the light? Any ideas? Okay. More difficult to see intentions, attitudes, actions. What else? If we can't see it, we think it doesn't exist. The enemy is always about hiding things. He is a liar and the father of lies, and if he can cause us to not bring anything out into the light and continue to hide it, then it's almost as though it doesn't exist. There are so many things that hide in the darkness that we think that it's all okay because we can't see it. But it's only when it's exposed to the light that we see the truth of the damage it's really causing. We're all appalled by what's going on in our nation with all the sexual accusations that's coming against all kinds of political and officials that are leading in multiple positions all throughout our nation. But to me, it just exposes what's been going on in the darkness for a long time. We masquerade around in front of our next generation an appetite for sexuality that is far beyond what God says is right. We have sexed up everything to the point you can't even watch a commercial that doesn't expose something sexual. And we pretend like it's okay. That's what's going on in the light, but when it goes into the darkness, pornography runs rampant, ruining marriages and families every day. Jesus has a standard that he desires for us to live by, and when lived in that standard, in the light, life is enjoyable. But when lived in the darkness, it may be fun, but it will only be for a season every time. Because when what's done in the darkness is revealed, the destruction and the decay that's been going on behind the scenes is finally exposed, and you see the wreckage that's left behind. The enemy wants us to run back into the darkness. All the while, our heart's longing is to get into the light. We want to be there where everything is pure and honest and enjoyable. The only place that is found is in a right relationship with the light. And the light is Jesus Christ. The Christ of Christmas is the light that exposes the darkness, that exposes the lies that's going on in our own minds. Here's the challenge that we face every day. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Their eyes can't see. Because the God of this age, the enemy himself, Satan himself, has blinded their eyes. We've got to be praying for them. Some of you here this morning are blind. You can't even see the light because you are living in such darkness. It requires a spiritual removing of the blindness, the blinders that are on your face, so that you can finally see the light and begin to see the truth of who you are and who God is and who He wants you to be. Have you ever lit a candle in the darkness to find that the darkness snuffed it out? Have you ever shined a flashlight into the darkness to find that the darkness overcame the light and you couldn't see it any longer? Doesn't happen, right? Look at what verse 5 says of John 1. The light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness, what? Did not overcome it. It will never overcome it because the true light is eternal and darkness is temporary. You read Revelation and you find that there's coming a day when the darkness will be snuffed out completely and all that will shine is the light of the glory of God. And all those who stand in that light will experience the wonderful presence of the glory of God. We must walk in the light that Jesus provides. Final thing in this passage of Scripture begins there in verse 6. We must provide evidence that Jesus is life and light. Verse 6, there was a man named what? John. Who is this John? Anybody know? Well, what's his full title we give him? John the Baptist, the baptizer, the one who is out in the wilderness baptizing people, right? He came, as we find there in verse 6, who was sent from who? He was sent from God, and he came as a witness to testify about the light. Okay, let's picture that about 30 minutes from now, every single one of us are going to have to stand before a judge, and we're going to be put on trial. All of us in single file formation stand individually, all on our own, before a judge. The judge of eternity. And we're convicted of being a Christian, a Christ follower, a little Jesus, one who follows after Christ. Would there be enough evidence in your life to prove that you do have a relationship with God? It's not necessarily about the words that you speak, though they're included. It's about the life that you live. Witnesses are called to the stand to give testimony to an event or a circumstance that they've seen and they believe has happened. Would there be enough evidence to convict you today that you are a Christian based on how you've lived or how you live your life? That's who John was. John the Baptist was sent from God to be a witness, a testimony of who Jesus really is. None of us are going to stand before a physical judge today. At least I don't know of any court dates coming up for any of you today. But I do know of a court date that's coming. And we will all stand before a judge. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 25, we find these words. John 5, 25. I assure you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in Himself, so also He has granted to the Son to have life in Himself. And He has granted Him the right to pass judgment, because He is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come out, and those who have done good things to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of judgment. All of us standing before the great throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will be based on the witness of our lives, whether we've walked in darkness or the light. Whether we've lived a life in love with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether we've lived a life in love with ourselves. John the Baptist was sent by God as a testimony, verse 7, as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He wasn't the light, verse 8. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. He's a witness that point others to the light so they'll trust in Jesus. The perfect example of who we are to be as Christians. We're not the light. Don't need to pretend like we're that important or that significant. But we must be pointing others to the light. Who do you know in your sphere of influence that's walking in the darkness and they don't even know it? You need to be praying that God would remove the scales of their blindness, that they might see who they really are, and they might see who their Savior really is. I want you to stand with me, please. I want us to contemplate a couple of questions for the next few minutes. Not to sound arrogant or over boastful, but I think this is the most important question that you will answer all day long. And that is the question of, have you received the light and life of Jesus? Where do you stand? Do you stand in darkness today? Or do you stand in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it mean to live for you? What is life all about? Is it about a series of circumstances and events that you go from one to the next trying to find the next best thing? Or is life found and lived in the purpose that God has for you to bring Him glory with everything that you have? See, the Christ of Christmas is a baby born in a manger. He is the God-man, God who put on flesh for us, that He might provide for us life everlasting and light to shine in this dark world. What's required is that we embrace it, that we believe it, and that we trust it. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God did raise him from the dead, you will be saved. Absent those two things coming from your heart and your mouth, you're not saved. So today, have you embraced the light and the life of Jesus? For all of us who have, this second question is for us. Do you provide evidence that you have life and live in the light? In a crowd this large, I don't have any doubt that there are things that the enemy desires for you to continue to shove in the darkness. Thinking nobody will know, it won't matter, it's not significant. Anything you hide in the dark always keeps you from where God wants you to be. Maybe today God would give you the boldness to bring from the darkness what you're hiding and shine it into the light, that God might get it rid of your life. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to thank you for the opportunity we have to study your word together. We thank you for giving us your plain, unvarnished truth, that we can trust in Christ this morning as not just some baby born in a manger, but the Christ of Christmas, who is the Word become flesh to dwell among us, that we might have light and that we might have life. Father, there are some here this morning who are walking around in darkness and don't even know it. The enemy has blinded them so that they can't see. So God, I ask that you would remove those scales from their eyes, that they might see the light of Jesus Christ and come running to you. That they would find life finally worth living in your loving arms. There are some here this morning who have come to the light. They're desiring to live a life for you, but there are things that are hindering them from being a witness for you. There are things that the enemy is desiring for them to hide in the darkness. And God, today, this morning, is the time for that junk to be brought to the light, that you might remove it. That those shackles of weight that are hindering these individuals, that it might be removed, that they might run with endurance the race that you've set before them. So, Father, we give you this time, that your Holy Spirit would move with great conviction upon our hearts, and that, Father, we would grab family members and friends and pray with them about individuals who are walking in darkness and not in the light. That we ourselves would pray about things that are going on in our own lives, that, God, you would move in our presence, and we would respond with courageous conviction. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.